the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Soldier,
keep on warring. Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. We're at Schnucks, Lime Ferry. Saturday's the big event, 1 to 4. Liquor tastings, food samplings, Dogtown Pizza, Gus's Pretzels, games for kids. Also, it's a great place to really stock up on your Super Bowl party food. It is the place to be, Schnucks, no doubt about it. All right, and Atlanta is the place to be this weekend, no doubt about it, for Super Bowl 53. Joining us now is the hero of Super Bowl 34, the one and only Mike Jones. Mike, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Frank?
Very good. So tell me what type of gathering the ex-Rams are going to do in the city where you guys became champions. Who's coming? What's the party like?
Well, you know, still, it's kind of it was an invite sent out to all, I guess, the former guys on Monday. Where it said Rams alumni. So I really don't know who's going to be there. It's going to be at the Super Bowl at the facility near the dome. So they have, I guess they have like a village that they have where they have different things going on in one of the locations. That's where we'll be at.
And Mr. Kroenke is paying for everything, I'm sure.
I have no idea how it's being done. So, I mean, well, I'll know what it's like when I get there. I mean, it's kind of a hush-hush thing. I don't know other than they're going to have some food and beverages. And some of the guys, I think DeMarco is going to be there. That's the only guy I can confirm right now. Other than that, I think there's going to be some guys there from the team. So I'm assuming Isaac will be there because, I mean, you know, he's a finalist, so I know he's in town. And then I know, like I said again, London, Kevin, and Trent Green, they're doing CBS Sports. So they're in town as well. They're doing the Super Bowl stuff. And Kurt's here as well. So I'm assuming that these guys will be there, but I haven't. That's the only person I've talked to so far has been DeMarco.
So, you know, we know that team is the greatest show on turf, but just you mentioning some of those names in terms of, like, how good you guys were on the defensive end. I mean, London Fletcher may end up in the Hall of Fame. DeMarco got to a Pro Bowl. Kevin Carter was a high draft pick who really produced well. You were an outstanding linebacker, and you had that secondary with Keith Lyle. Man, boy, you guys had some players on defense, and people don't realize that.
Yeah, you know what? We were everyone remembers the greatest show on turf, and granted, you know, they deserved everything they got, but up until the last game, if you think about it, we were the number one defense in the NFL, and then we play Philly, and we do not play the second half, and we go from first to sixth. And they beat us. You know, they score some points on us, get some yards on us, and so we go from first to sixth. But we had a very good defense. But, you know, when you had a Kurt Warner story, Marshall Faulk story, you know, getting them for what, a fourth-round pick, and, you know, Isaac and Torrey and Orlando. I mean, there's a lot of big-name players over there. So, you know, we just kind of got caught, you know. They were playing well. You know, everyone likes offense. So you got a chance to see a great offense and a great defense and a great special team.
Yeah, I know the ones on defense normally don't go against the ones on offense, but did that ever happen? Or were there moments like when you were playing against this offense in practice where you thought to yourself, wow, this is scary?
You know what? We didn't. And part of it was, you know, you had, you know, Torrey was a young guy. I mean, Ricky Pro was, you know, the ultimate professional. You knew Orlando was going to be special. You knew that Adam Timmerman was a good football player. You know, so we had good players across the board, and it was very competitive, you know, that training camp. So, I mean, we didn't know how good we were going to be. So, offensively, some days they would get us, and some days we would get them. And but we didn't know. I mean, we thought we had a good team. But, you know, if you would have asked us at the beginning of the season, know what, we're going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, the guys will say, well, you know, I think we got a good chance of winning, going to the playoffs, but going to the Super Bowl, I don't think anybody knew we were going to go that far.
Mike, are you surprised that there's a lot of guys that aren't great coaches that get second and third chances, and Mike Martz never got a chance to be a head coach after he left here?
You know what? It is ironic because I think some of the things that the reason why Mike didn't get any head jobs, they thought he's a little combative. They also thought that because of the players he had, it was more the players than the coaching. And so, I mean, I think he got a bad stigma for being fortunate to have good football players and coach them up well. So, you know, I think he should have been a head coach again. I think he had all the tools to be a head coach. But I just don't know why no one decided to give him that opportunity.
I know you played for a bunch of coaches, if you think about your NFL career. Did you ever play for anybody so beloved like Dick Vermeil, who you honestly felt loved Mike Jones?
You know what? I didn't. I mean, I think Art Shell was a close second because, you know, he was a Raider. And he played there, he coached there. You know, the people loved him because he was a former Raider and he became the head coach. And, you know, I think he was probably a second. And, you know, Bill Cowher was beloved in Pittsburgh. But I mean, for everything that happened in St. Louis, for everything, you know, that went on, in St. Louis, I mean, there was no one that could touch Coach Vermeil as far as the situation and how he was able to turn a team from last place team to a Super Bowl champion. No, there's not anyone like that that I played for.
And the way he liked you, and in fact, you used to tell me that when you were coaching either at Lincoln or at St. Louis U High, you would call him up and pick his brain a little bit, and you still have a rapport to this day.
Yeah, Coach Vermeil always looks out for, you know, and I think, you know, as long as he's coached, I mean, Coach Vermeil still talks to guys that he coached in high school. You know, he'll call guys up, see how they're doing. And like I said, he generally cared about the guys that played for him. So, you know, I will call him, and I can remember a couple of times I called him when I was struggling. You know, we just won state championship at Hazelwood East. And then the next year, we start off 0-4. So I call him up, you know, and he's not, you know, he'll help you, and he wants you to do well, but he also, you know, tell you some different things. So, you know, I'm complaining about us being 0-4. He's like, Mike, the problem isn't the team. The problem is you. He said, you got to figure out how to get these guys playing. You know, I'm thinking I'm calling him to get a pity party. And he's like, no, you don't get a pity party from me and tell you what you need to do to be a good coach. And that's how he approached life with everybody. I mean, he was always there for you. Sometimes he told you what you needed to hear instead of what you wanted.
I was with Grant Williams this morning. And he showed me his Patriots Super Bowl ring, and he said each year the ring for the Patriots has gotten 33% bigger. And this was a big ring. How about, do you wear your ring much, and just what does it mean to you?
Well, I mean, I wear it more than I used to. I didn't used to wear it a lot. And, you know, when I got done playing, you know, I wear it a whole lot more than what I used to. You know, and the ring – you know, is just it's a symbol of what we were as a team. It was the end result. You know, the stuff that, you know, we talk about, and I always say this all the time, it's always about the journey, not necessarily when you get to the destination. And our journey from where we went to where we got to was unbelievable. You know, yeah, at the end of the day, we got the ring and we got the trophy and we're Super Bowl champions, but I think the stuff that we went through as a team, as an organization, as a city, it made us better people. And that was the biggest thing. That's what everyone remembers about all the great things from the first game when how our balls are put the stage out on the field to us seeing the confetti go down and all the things in between. Those are things that stick with you.
So, Mike, I remember being with Brenda Warner about a year ago. And she was, like, amazed that people in St. Louis were not rooting for the Rams, like, shocked. You live here. You feel St. Louis's pain, even though you're going to be rooting for the Rams Sunday. Take me through the whole Mike Jones thought process here.
Well, you know what? It's tough. I mean, because, you know, again, when you see and live through what had happened, I mean, I was fortunate to live in St. Louis prior to the Rams coming to St. Louis. And I didn't know enough about the Cardinals about the, what happened there. But then to see the team come back to St. Louis, see the team come there and then go through the 4 years of not winning, and then year five, you know, when everything, after going 4-12 to win a Super Bowl, and seeing how the city was taken by the Rams and the Rams taken by the city, it was just unbelievable. And then those 3 years of, you know, going to the Super Bowl, going to the playoffs, and going back to the Super Bowl, and then making a couple of playoff runs, having playoff games, and all those different things, you know, if you're an outsider, you don't really understand that. But if you live in St. Louis, you realize how important, how good of a feeling it made everyone feel in the city. And for them to leave, for the Rams to leave, you know, it broke a lot of people. And, you know, I got to tell everybody, I'm always around. You know, it's tough because, you know, you see the team out in L.A. and they're in the Super Bowl now, and you're thinking as a former St. Louis resident and a former St. Louis Ram, you know, with the same resources, the same thing could have been done in St. Louis, but for whatever reason, it was chosen not to do it.
All right, quick thought, your St. Louis U High days, you took over a program that was going through kind of a transition with the veteran players.
Yep.
How do you see the future? I know you like some of the young kids in the program right now.
Oh, yeah, I think we're going to be a whole lot better. Last year, I was talking to a reporter, and they were like, well, how'd you guys do? I said, well, when you had the toughest schedule in the state, when you're playing 5 of your 10 games against state champions, not teams that made the playoffs, but teams that won the state championship, makes it kind of tough. And so, you know, we struggled last year, but I think we'll be better because of it, you know, because we played against the best teams in the area, in the state. And we'll be better because of it. So we'll be a lot better next year. We got a lot of guys coming back. I think we got 25 guys coming back from the team. So it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to be a lot more competitive next year for sure.
And final thought, let's just say in the last 3 weeks, a 21-day period, how many times has the tackle been brought up to you in the last 21 days?
You know what? It's been brought up every day, about every 2 or 3 hours, and it's even amazing because I talked to a young man. This is a short story. My cousin in Texas went to Rice, and he called me and asked me, because I talked to a young guy that's a rookie free agent, linebacker, trying to make a team. So me and him became pretty good friends. I talked to him on a weekly basis. And so he sent me a text yesterday saying, man, I didn't know this was you. He said, I heard about it, but they're playing this all over everywhere. So the guys I just meet send me stuff. So, you know, I'm seeing it all the time, which is good. I mean, we're coming up on 20 years now, and the play's still well thought of. So I'm happy. I'm happy it's still relevant, and happy that, you know, that we won this championship.
And you knew you tackled them before he got to the end zone, but you weren't sure if you were going to get the right spot right away, correct?
Yeah, you know what? You have to be careful because, like I said, sometimes, you know, you make a play and – and if the official's not in the right spot, you know, hey, we seen it last week. You see a no call. And so, you know, once I saw that they weren't in, that he wasn't in and the official checked it, we realized then that that we had won.
Great stuff, Mike. Honored to have you on the program. Enjoy the Super Bowl, sir.
All right, thanks, Frank.
All righty, thank you. The great Mike Jones joining us. You know, he didn't want to say it, but I know this for a fact, that this Rams reunion in Atlanta where Super Bowl 34 was won, the flights are not paid for by the Rams. The hotels are not paid for by the Rams. There's no tickets provided for by the Rams. So, yeah, we're going to have a Super Bowl reunion, but you pay your own way. Okay. All right. Hey, let's take a short time out. But before we go to break, quick word about a couple of our great sponsors, and one of them is Maryville University. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu for more information. And I also want to tell you about the Bomberito Automotive family. I'm here with Matt Rocchio. He's thinking about buying a car, and I said, look, Matt, don't look any further. We're going to hook you up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have Matt tell me what he's looking for, and then what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to text John Bomarito and say, hey, have a good friend here at KFNS who's looking to buy a car, and this is what he's looking at. And you know what's going to happen is John is going to text back and say, give me his name and number. And then John is going to give his name and number to a salesperson who sells that particular car, and they're going to work out a deal. That's the way it works at Bomarito. In fact, if any of you want to email me at fcusumano@kstk.com, say, I would like to buy a Nissan Murano, I'll have a salesperson contact you right away, and you'll get the best deal and the best service. They get it right. There's a reason they sell the most cars in the state of Missouri. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back. Oh, when we come back, a stat about John Tudor and Adam Wainwright, which will floor you. We'll be right back.